How you doing, church? So good to be back. We love you. Oh my gosh, I missed you. So good. Are you good? If you didn't stand up, I love you still. Kidding, you can take a seat. It is so good to be back. If you're new or visiting, Auds and I, we pastor this church. We've been away for 3 weeks, just living the dream in just grossness. It was gross. It was disgusting. Australia is ugly. You don't want to go there. It's ugly, okay? White sand, ugh. Warm water, disgusting. Good food, I hate it. Hawaii, overrated. So just don't do it. Chicago's better. North Avenue Beach. Whoop, whoop. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it's at. So first time that we've been back home as a family since we left, which is just crazy. But that's sometimes what happens when you build something and you can kind of pioneer it. But it was good to go home. And my mum met my kids and my brother met my kids for the first time. So that was really cool. My mum only saw Cruz when he was one. So it was just so good to meet him all. I didn't cry. She did. It was very hot though. So I was sweating from my eyeballs. And, you know, it happens. But it was just so good to be home. And it was something about, you know, 7 years of a church. I was, you know, it's my 37th birthday. It was in July. And there was something about God putting a punctuation between that season. And I'm just so excited for what God is going to do here. If this is what he's done from zero to here, imagine what he's going to do in the next few years. And it's a, man, just worship moments like that the world needs, right? And so it's just awesome to be here. I missed everybody. Man, I'm going to just go off and say some names. No, kidding. Any women in the house? So good. Fashion is upon us. It is 1 month, right? About 3 weeks-ish away. And I just want to take a moment as your pastor to just speak into it. Fashion is not a women's conference. It's a church conference that we put on for the women of this house and beyond, okay? And that means that we get behind it. And I want to say why. Because, you know, in the Bible, and I just think in life, women often, they go first. Am I right? All the women are quiet, and I don't know if it's because they're like, tell them, or if it's like, you're not supporting a brother. But I'm giving you a rap here, okay? Go. Thank you, Mel. Mel's got my back. Anyone else? Come on, women. Just give a bit of a shout. It's true, man. Like, if you go back to grade six, like, all the girls have already shot up, and you're like here. Like, you know what I mean? And they just go first, and they talk first. Rivi's, like, talking way sooner than my boys did. And in the Bible, they often got places first. And there's something about what God has done in womanhood, an expression of who he is. And I got to say this, though. Quite often, the last person to take care of themselves is the mom, is the woman. And I want to encourage you, why don't you take some time to invest into you? And why don't you allow us as a church to look after you? Why don't we give you some time to, like, get God? Because, you know, yeah, you could get him in any moment, but there's something about taking a break. And fashion conference is where we say as a team, how could we design a God moment that just does something in you? And so it's worth it. It's worth you taking the time. It's worth you investing in it. And we're going to make everything possible for you to get there. Hey, and even, look, I can't guarantee this, but hold on. Like, even if you can't afford to be there, but, like, truly you can't afford it. Like, you can't say you can't afford it, but then you're, like, buying handbags or, like, coffee every day that's super expensive and designer four times. You know what I mean? Like, just, you can't. But if you truly can't afford it, we will always look for our registrations for the moment that we have space and somebody has paid for a registration, we will give it to you because we want you to get there. This is the other part. If you are single in this place, make the investment. Get it? Get it, guys? Make the investment. And why don't we support someone? Why don't we put some registrations there? I just think it's something about making a way for somebody to have their best day. We should do that. And then, men, if you are able, why don't you serve at conference? It's just so good to be a part of it. Honestly, every year the messages speak to the men as well. So you should just be there. And secondly, if you're single, I really don't know what else to do as your pastor, man. I'm helping. I'm trying. I'm pushing here. I'm doing what I can. And if you don't pick up from here, then I'm sorry. We've done enough, okay? So get there. Serve the women of the house. And if you're new or visiting, so good to have you. Okay, so being away was awesome. And we're in this, like, people mover. Like, we call them people movers in Australia. It's just a van, okay? A van, four children, seven like bags of luggage and just, we looked like gypsies, okay? We're just going through the world and it was awesome. And you just see crazy conversations every day. Because when you got four kids, like, it's just interesting. Like, Rivi will not talk until she has eye contact. She's like, dad, 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 daddy. And then I go to look at her and she's like, then she starts talking. The boys, however, doesn't matter. Each on their own topic to whoever will listen. But every now and then, they come together on one topic, and it's typically the same topic that unifies them. Two topics, actually. One genre, toilet humor, just really brings them together. You know what I mean? Like, they could be fighting, but someone just does something, and everyone's like, that was amazing, okay? I forgive you. You know, like, why? I just don't get it. Boys have shown me how gross they could be. I didn't even know it. Didn't even expect it. But every now and then, the second topic is they play like a what-if game. And they just come up with crazy scenarios. Like, just out of the world, never imaginable scenarios. Like, what if all the trees on Earth came to life and were taking over our home? Just our home. Not the city. All the trees got together over our home. We laugh, but on a long drive, I find myself jumping in on the game. I'm driving, what would I do? And it always ends with them saying stuff like, man, I'd get Captain America. And then, you know, other ones are like, I'd get Aquaman. I'm like, he's useless on land. Get him out of here. Like, these are trees, boys. Audrey's looking and she's like, now I've got four boys, you know? But it just struck me, like, how cool of a game. Like, they get to choose what is going on. Like, what if life was that way? Like, you've got battles. Like, what was unimaginable, possibly, because we all think, man, I'm untouchable. That's not going to happen to me. And all of a sudden, it happens. Like, that thing that you never thought would happen happens to you. Or that thing that you think only happens to other people happens to you. Or that thing that you maybe anticipated. Whatever it is, life is an arena. And in that arena, there are giants. And when those giants come your way, what if we could do what my kids do? Choose your champion. I want to speak to you from that subject today. Because I don't believe it's just a kid's story. I actually believe it's a biblical requirement for us to do this. Choose our champion. Please write that on your screen. Write that somewhere. Write it on someone's shirt. Whatever. I don't care. But choose your champion is our subject for the rest of our time together. And I want to read something for you. Because I believe that God gives us a hint as to this not being just a good fairy tale kind of subject, but it being a reality for a Christian. In fact, I would say we choose Jesus and this life because we have now got a new champion to fight for us. I mean, otherwise, we get pushed and bullied around by just the cards that life dealt us. Where you grew up, what you grew up with, what you did have, didn't have, what you are, what you're not, your propensities, all just a mass cosmic roll of the dice. But it's not, because we know that God's in charge. We know that God created you. And the fact that you're here is because you were here on appointment. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in a nagging friend that just nagged enough to get you here. I don't believe that you're the one without a calling. I don't believe that just because you've done, therefore you won't be. What I know is that God's in control. And what I know is that he gives us a hint in Ephesians, and let's read it quickly, because he gives us a bit of a format for this arena and where the fight takes place and what it looks like and how we engage. Ready? Let's read. It says this. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. What? That sounds like my kid's game, okay? Evil, authorities, mighty. I mean, what? This just doesn't sound real. But let's just put a framework out there for a second so that we can really engage in this subject, because as Christians in the Western world, we often don't look at it this way. We're good at practical. We're good at do more. We're good at filling the schedule. We're good at like, oh, what's the next step that I can really just hold on to? Well, let's just say this, that we put too much emphasis on the tangible. Do you know what I mean? Because like, the tangible doesn't play a role as big as you think it does. The biggest reason I would dare say that you haven't done what you want to do in life is probably more ethereal than it is physical. I would say your fear has played a bigger role in you not getting somewhere than your physicality. In fact, I would say knowledge has a bigger issue with you not getting what you need than anything else. It's just what it is. You know that saying, needle in a haystack? It's like finding a needle in a haystack. Sometimes I don't know which ones are Australian sayings. You guys are like, no, we call it a pancake in a haystack. Don't know. I don't know why I said that. It's the only word I could use. You guys are like, doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Needle in a haystack is only a problem if you don't know where the needle is. But the beauty of knowledge and the keys to life are quite often that the thing you need to know to get to where you got to go is the equivalent of a needle in a haystack. So almost impossible to find, yet if you knew where it was, the problem is not. Big reason you don't have what you want, you don't know what you need to know. Big reason that maybe you haven't had everything you need is because you've only seen it done a certain way. You're doing life, you didn't want to do it this way, but that's how your parents did it. So that's how you do it. It's just what we do. It's not depression, it's depression, it's anxiety. The soft spaces that seem to rule what happens. Now that we've set that precedence, and I think by your silence, you might agree, that it's not the physical that's playing such a big role. But yet, what is happening in the unseen? What is not visible to the eye is actually playing a big role. So I say that to say, if that's the case, how many of us are possibly engaged with battle armor, with everything in a fight that we don't need to be in? Do you know what I mean? Like, we've shown up to the wrong place. Like, it'd be like you showing up ready. Like, you got battle armor on, and then you go to McDonald's. We do that on Monday because this is setting an arena. Saying the arena's not physical. The arena's spiritual. But yet, we're showing up. I've got a task list. Woo! 4 podcasts. Definitely getting blessed this week. It's not what it is. It's not what it is. And in fact, this life with God is an absolute transfer from what we once did to what we must now do. And it could be encapsulated in a simple statement as to why we don't do what we should do, why we don't actually lean and choose our champion for the arenas of life. And it's 2 things. 1, we don't know where they are. And 2, we don't know how to fight in them. Maybe your marriage is stuck, not because you married a wrong person, but because you guys are fighting the wrong fight. Most marriages break up because people fight each other instead of fighting the bigger issues. Most dreams don't come to pass because they're fighting the wrong things. And the devil loves engaging you in a fight that you don't belong in. Because if he could tie you up where you shouldn't be, he's kept you from where you should be. Are we fighting the wrong things? The church fights the wrong things all the time. We fight whatever the media wants us to answer. We fight the small things. We fight the minors and we forget the majors. And our influence goes out the window because we don't quite understand our arena and how to fight in it. And the greatest, biggest statement that I think we often do that is this, the things we trust. I would say the reason we haven't chosen our champion in heaven to fight for us is because we trust things here on earth. We trust our resume. Resumes are useless. No one even tells the truth. If we all were our resume, oh my gosh, we would float right now. I've read some resumes where people say single-handedly. I love that. Just like that. Do you want this? Like what? We trust our skill set. We trust our title. We trust our Instagram personality. Social media is awesome. I'm about it. I just think that there's a difference when the things that you use become the things you depend on. That skill set, you know what I mean? That business, that mentality, it's good, but it's not the thing. Let's read what Psalm 33 says about it because it kind of gives us some insight into the things we trust. Let's read it quick because it says it so, so well. It says this, the best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory for all... hold up. Do not trust in the words, person. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, aka healthy respect of him, those who rely That's what you depend on. His unfailing love. Why is unfailing love important? Because it's his love that actually got him to earth to die for you or me. It was how much he loved us that actually never fails us. He loves you so much, he'll always be there. It's incredible. And then he says, he rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. You could look at those constructs and understand the things that are trying to kill you and the things that the devil's trying to kill and the things that you go without. Whether it's food or whether it's dreams, whether it's food or whether it's love, there are things that the devil wants to keep you from. And it is the things we trust that we often shouldn't, because God has called us, sent his son, so that we would have an option for a champion. And it would no longer be the things we trust, but the one we trust. So let me ask you, are you building your life according to the one you trust or the things you trust? Do you have a war horse? And is your war horse the very thing that when battles come up, you get on there, saddle up, and ride off into the sunset? That's my thing. It's my skill set that'll get me through. It's my networking. It's my title. It's my lucky tie. It's not. No one likes it. If I was married, loneliness would no longer win the battle. It's not the right war horse. And the point of what God is speaking about here is that the skill set he gave you is not the one that'll save you. It's the one who created the skill set that wants dependence. He wants us to depend and rely on him. And if we did, oh my gosh, the arenas that we were meant to fight in, we would win. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're held up. Maybe you're still in what you don't want to be in because you've not chosen the right champion. And maybe you're fighting in arenas that God never called you to. God sent his son so that you and I could choose our champion. What would it look like to choose our champion? Just like my kids do it every single week, we get to do it. It'd be like a Pokemon battle. I choose Ephesians, you know, like. Someone in there got super excited. They're like, this is my church. This is my church. This is my church. Finally, a Pokemon illustration. He's here. I want to take you through the different things, a whole bunch of things that I think, and I don't know how many I'll get through, but we'll keep it going until the next week. I mean, we'll stop this service, but I'll come back and preach it again. You guys are like, wow, we're really in for the long haul here. Should have gone to Kanye. Ready. Number one, if I could choose any champion, this is my arena, let me just say. In the arena of past regret, in the arena of limited access, in the arena where you don't have enough, in the arena filled with mistakes, in the arena where the giant likes to point you back to where you came from and put you in your place. You know what I mean? Like that arena where, as Christians, if you're audacious, people look at you like, you should not be audacious. That's arrogant. I think I should be arrogant in the right way in God, in that he's got my back and I have full confidence that I don't have to sit in the sidelines of life because of what I've done, because of what he has done. So in that arena where you shouldn't be happy, you shouldn't have, you shouldn't fix your marriage, you shouldn't be in church, you shouldn't be allowed, you shouldn't even have a calling. You shouldn't, couldn't, wouldn't because of what happened. Limited access. This is my champion. If that happened, if that's your arena right now, I choose this champion. Jesus. Hold up. I mean, I said Jesus. Like, this is the champion of heaven, the Son of God, who comes down right. And like, this is Captain America on steroids. If you look all through the Bible at what Jesus has done, what he did, it just really comes alive in the moment where he's on the cross and he says this, it is finished. That is a real boss statement. I mean, if he had a resume, he could easily just put single-handedly, save the world. Just did it. I mean, you can't go to work tomorrow and they employed you for something. Like, they employed you for, like, cultural development. And you rock up tomorrow. You go, hey guys, just want to let you know, early retirement, it is finished. Like, you can't do that. How much of a boss statement? It says something. It means that Jesus has done some things that, one, cannot be unchanged, two, cannot be taken back. He has brought you things that were stolen from you. And here are some of the things that happen when you put Jesus in the arena of limited access, of doubt, of past mistakes. This is what Jesus does. One of his great titles is Jesus' function already done is he is Redeemer. Meaning, what the world has taken from you, what time has taken from you, he brings back. That's what he does. And this is how you do it. If you choose him as your champion, the way you call him as champion of Redeemer is you put him in place by asking him to teach you his principles. When you employ Jesus' principles, you enable him to redeem what the devil has taken. So maybe you spent your life a certain way. Well, when you put Jesus in the arena, you sit back and start letting him call the shots. When he's in the arena, he teaches you how to do it his way. When you put Jesus' principles in play, when you put a Bible principle in play, you get a Bible result. When you're the champion, you call the shots. When you're the champion, you call the strategy. When Jesus is the champion, you do what he says. When you do what he says, you get what he gives. Can you say right now, when you rock up to Monday and you're facing a promotion battle, or you're facing an internal battle, as you look out at life and you think that everything you don't have is a result of what you deserve, can you call Jesus into that moment and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way. You tell me, if I put you first, all the things I need will be added to me. How many do we fight in the arena of growth and multiplication and addition when the Bible clearly says that it is he that brings the growth, he brings the increase, he is the one that brings it? You don't have to fight in that arena. You call him into the arena by stewardship and excellence. You look after what he gives you, you do it with excellence, and all of a sudden, Jesus fights the battle of growth. Choose your champion. Choose wisely. Because if you choose the wrong champion, you tire yourself. Here's a second way to activate your champion called Jesus, is call upon his name. That's what the Bible says. Come on, it can't be that easy. This really is Pokemon. I choose Jesus. Like, that's what happens. Call on the name of Jesus, and all who call on that name shall be saved. So what does that look like? Instead of calling on your strategy and calling on your friendships, have you been able to, in a moment, supernaturally call on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, right now I need you to stand in the gap. Because you've brought things back that the devil stole. He took my confidence. He took my worth. He stole some things from me, my parents' divorce, and I want them back. Because you can't walk into the rooms that God's called you to walk in and influence in them if you don't have the boldness that comes with the way he created you. You got to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, I need you. You know that in my worst day, when I'd lost my mind and anxious and I was in church and nothing was working for me and angst was literally making me want to run out the doors, the only reason I didn't was because I knew there was nothing else to run to. I didn't want to run to medication. Can I just tell you, medication is necessary, but it should not be your life sentence. It is temporary until my God shows up. Until then, he's with me because he always shows up, but we're building a process. I don't settle. I don't want to settle. We shouldn't settle. But in that moment where I lost everything, arms raised, all I could say was Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all I would hear back from him is a picture like this saying, just don't let go, just don't let go. Can you hold on to the name of Jesus in a trial? Because you know that Jesus, one, redeems. Two, he saves. And three, what Jesus does is he gives you all access. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. He has given us every spiritual blessing available in the heavenlies. Now, we've just said, I know this is a different framework, but we've said, we've all agreed, we've all kind of acknowledged that the reason we're not where we should be is not because of the physical things, but typically the soft spaces, fear, the unseen. Well, in that unseen realm where things come from, this world was created, spoken from another. And the one that we're talking about, he says we get unlimited access. Why? Because Jesus died on a cross. See, Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you didn't have to. Jesus paid the debt. But what we often think is this, we could work it off. You ever trying to work off your bad season? You know what I mean? Come on now. Yeah, you did something and you're like, I'm going to work it off. I'll be in church, 2 services for the next 6 weeks, and I'm reading my Bible 4 times a day. Woo! Well, here's the thing. How hard would you have to work and you'd still be just back at zero? God doesn't need you to work it off. He paid it off. Chris, how does this practically affect me? When you know you have access, you walk different. You ever noticed? I've been at a whole bunch of conferences, and I've learned the art of getting into rooms. It's just walk with confidence. Act like you belong and be a bit oblivious. And if you walk fast enough, it's usually an intern that's on the door. They're like, excuse, okay. Hey, don't, oh, it's just a reality. He'll do the same trick later because he'll be like, you know what I learned when I was an intern? Just is what it is. Why? That's what changes when you know that God gave you access. Because he redeemed you, so now you're different, so now you can believe for different because he's done it for you, which now means you walk into your weekday, you walk into your marriage, you go, no, this is not my lot. See, this is what happens when you know it's not what you deserve. You engage in a fight. How many Christians are losing because they're not even showing up to the arena? I deserve this. Or we make it the wrong fight. Just pick the wrong one. You didn't. The minute the ring went on the finger, they became the right one. And if you're divorced, I'm not condemning you. It's not about that. You're good. You're going to grow. You're going to learn from the last one. You're going to keep moving. That's not about that. But what I'm saying is this. We fight the wrong battles. But when you know that you're redeemed, when you know that Jesus is a champion, everything changes. Second champion, go to Galatians for me, or John for me. It says this. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. This one is the advocate of the Holy Spirit. If I could, in the arena of cloudy situations, in the arena of doubt, in the arena of, like, just I'm not sure, in the arena where I need perspective, in the arena where I cannot understand what's going on, in the arena of a cluttered heart, in the arena of a confused mind, in the arena of offense, in the arena of doubt, in the arena of I need wisdom, this is my champion, the Holy Spirit. He's not just the poor cousin of the three. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, everyone's usually good with God, good with Jesus, but Holy Spirit, like, you're the hippie. You might make me laugh in public. Don't get it. I can't. That's what we think. We don't embrace him. We don't always know his full function. I remember I was confused by it when I got saved. Called my sister one night. It was night. And I'm like, hey, I need something. She's like, you just got to talk to the Holy Ghost. I'm like, whoa. Okay. So you said, it's the Holy Ghost. What? Maybe I'll talk to him tomorrow when it's daylight. A little bit. We don't comprehend. We think it's spooky. We think it's going to be the ones that are going to, like, you know, shundamunda, kick down the door. Like, we don't know. We don't know. But it's our job to know. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that came down and gave power. Pete, who was uneducated, not confident, and didn't have the words, all of a sudden got up and convinced a whole bunch of people that were cynical. You don't have enough? You got to understand this. It's not what's in you, but what falls on you from heaven that'll change you. What is on you changes everything. When the Spirit of God fell on David, he takes down lions. When God on Elijah or Elisha, memorable prophets. The Spirit of Elisha was on John the Baptist. That is the difference. Holy Spirit's not weird. We make him weird. You know why we make him weird? Because we think that this whole life is about the sensational. Give me gold dust, and then he's real. You don't need gold dust, unless you need to pay accounts of something. Then, yes, let's get gold dust, we'll buy a building with it. We memorialize the way he moved once and make it a standard when he's always moving. I need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit gives me discernment. The Holy Spirit gives me boldness. The Holy Spirit allows me to be who I'm not meant to be by what world standards say. The Holy Spirit gets me in an arena where I should cower and it makes me bold. The Holy Spirit whispers truths to my spirit that tell me I'm not the equation of my defeats. The Holy Spirit cuts through every single depth that the world has buried me in and it brings me straight out with boldness and truth. The Holy Spirit helps me relate to the unrelatable in my life. The Holy Spirit gives me power to say no to my sin, to get away from what holds me, say that I'm not the sum of my addictions, and get up and run to change this world. The Holy Spirit says that when I lack confidence, that I could stand on any podium, whether Instagram or buildings or Barcelona or Tokyo, and change the world. The Holy Spirit makes up the deficit where my insecurity is bringing me down. He makes my deficit. The Holy Spirit helps me pick a relationship that is worthy of who He made me, not one that tells me what I'm not. The Holy Spirit softens my heart and opens my mind. The Holy Spirit leads me through dry desert experiences and makes me come out the other side a stronger person. The Holy Spirit helps me decipher between this job and that job. The Holy Spirit helps me lean in to the God moment that is not visible to the eye. The Holy Spirit gives me words for people that aren't even Christian. The Holy Spirit encourages me and prompts me to generosity. The Holy Spirit gives me words for people on a train. And I don't have to say God said or Jesus said. I just got to tell them what it is, because God's words out of my mouth are just as powerful as God's words out of His. The Holy Spirit's my advocate. He's my helper. The Holy Spirit goes in the arena and fights for me. The Holy Spirit stops me from stepping in by myself. And He says, hold up, I got you. The Holy Spirit makes up my shortfall. The Holy Spirit breathes truth. The Holy Spirit breathes life. The Holy Spirit anoints me. The Holy Spirit gives me everything I need to get through what I'm going through. The Holy Spirit, He does it. The Holy Spirit is here hoping that you would give Him the simple invitation that will push Him into your arena. You're not alone. You never have been. The devil wants you to think it. But God's got your back, and He's got champions at your disposal. And one of them is the Spirit of the living God. The same one that rose Jesus from the grave is the same one that's on you and me. We're not going to Barcelona because we got a good thing. We're going to Barcelona because we got a God thing. We're not going to Tokyo because we got a good thing. We're going because we got a God thing. The Holy Spirit took an insecure boy, riddled with my past, canceled out my future. And the Holy Spirit came and said, you shall be. The Holy Spirit said, you will lead. The Holy Spirit said, stay in it, because People Church shall be, because it will be. The Holy Spirit said, try again, because you will have children. The Holy Spirit said, you could lead people. The Holy Spirit is not the weird cousin. He's the sense of everything we need, and He's wanting to advocate for you. Your marriage doesn't need anything before it starts with Jesus, your champion, Holy Spirit, your advocate. That's where things change. And the last one is this. The redeemed, you and me. Go to Galatians for me. Just, you can read. We'll stay standing. We're going to go into an altar call anyway. I've got 2 minutes. We've got to do it. My old self. Oh, gosh, I love that saying right there. Oh, man. Come on now. You got to embrace that one. My old self. He's not me anymore. Not who I am. Here's the cool thing about Jesus. Your old self is now. 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 Your old self is right now. Your old self is now. Like your old self is right and now. Your old self is now. 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 No distance between when you messed up and get back in church, because your old self is now. No distance between your best day and your worst, because your old self is now. The redeemed use a powerful giant to put in the arena. That champion tells the devil, you can't, because I am. I am the sum of my God. I am the sum of His wins. I am the sum of His mercy and the sum of His grace. I'm the sum of His workmanship, and He called me good. The old you is a powerful friend to leave in the past. And the new you. The old you has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the things we trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. There was a big chasm between you and your best day, and Jesus paid the price, fell back, and created a bridge so that you and me. I mean, do you get what's happening in this church? Do you get what you walked into? Do you get that He took a bunch of people and He said, I want to breathe on you to bring something from heaven to earth that the world's never seen before? This isn't just hype. This isn't just church. This is 7 years of God's faithfulness. We're not just dreaming. We're claiming. We're not just walking. We're running. We're not building businesses, we're building movements. You don't own a company, you own an agent of change. You're not a corporate person in corporate America, you're an agent of corporate change in the workplace in America. You're not in the public sector and just a teacher. No, you're an advocate for the future of our children and let them know who they're called to be. This is no mistake that you're in this building. This is no mistake you're here this moment. And it's no mistake that in 2 weeks we'll have our first small group and preview service in Barcelona. No mistake. See, when I look at the church and the beauty of the church and why you want to be in it, it's not because I see a whole bunch of pasts and mistakes. It's because I see a whole bunch of redemption. Right here I see perfection because I see Jesus before I see you. And that's the way God sees you too. Jesus before you. You have the best Instagram filter in the world and it's called redemption. Best filter. No duck lips can compare. And this is what happens from heaven. You step into arenas that you shouldn't be in and the devil accuses. He's like, whoa, whoa, shouldn't be there. Struggling with, did, shouldn't be, still does, can't be. Diagnosis, black and white. And Jesus, your advocator in heaven, goes, hold up a second. Thank you, cool. But they've called upon my name and I've saved them and they've called me Redeemer. They're living by my principles. And on top of that, Holy Spirit's down there and he's empowering them. He's got boldness on them. And they're made to do things that are crazy. So I just need you to do this. You can say that accusation again, but now I'm going to stand in the middle and you've got to see if those accusations can get through me to them. I feel like the devil, God and Jesus, like God and Jesus must be laughing in heaven going, I'm sorry, accuser, but I don't see anything. Wait, say it again, Jesus. We don't see, and heaven roars. Because there are redeemed versions of us sitting in arenas with boldness and right to be there because we're not what we were, but we are what he says we are. The redeemed you needs to enter some more arenas. The redeemed you has to step in and say, you know what? No, I shouldn't have this promotion. I shouldn't have this following. I shouldn't have this influence. But you know what? I know why I've got it. I'm not trusting the war horse of my influence. I'm trusting the one who gave it to me. Therefore, I'm going to use my influence to change the world. I want to just by a show of hands today, pray for a few people that are in the arena. I want to pray for some of you that are in the corporate sector. If you're in the corporate sector, whether it is a stepping stone to where you're going to be, whether you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, over these next 7 years, we're going to champion you. We're going to champion you in your arena. We're going to lift your head up when you put it down. We're going to tell you that you should aim for more because you're made for it. We're going to tell you stick out the hard season when it looks like there's no favor around you because God planted you in that business for a reason, in that organization for a reason. We're going to show you that you're made for more. And if you're in the arena of influence, your social media or your design, whatever you are, we're going to lift your head up. We're going to tell you that you're bringing down God designs to clothe people with grace, clothe people with more than they can imagine. We're going to lift you up. If you're in the public sector, working in government, teacher, whatever you are, first responder, you're more than just your job title. You're God's chosen champion for your arena. He wants to use you, and we're going to lift you up. We're going to champion you over the next 7 years. We're going to see more businesses. We're going to see more teachers. We're going to see more first responders. We're going to see more educators. We're going to see more legislators. We're going to see more entrepreneurs. We're going to believe for more people to run. And the last group is this. If you feel like you're called to be attached to the house of God, whether through a not-for-profit portion of it or a pastor, musician or a strategist, we're going to pray for you. We're going to commit to lifting you up in the next 7 years. We're going to help you be everything you're called to be. We're going to educate you. We're going to speak life into you. The Holy Spirit is going to be a big part of bringing everything that maybe the devil has taken from you and bringing it back and saying, no, that nation that is on your heart might not be in our vision right now, but if this is where he's planted you, it'll come. He makes no mistakes, and sometimes you hold a portion of our vision before I do. All you need to know is this where God's got me? People Church, we ran for 7 years, we broke ground, but we're going to run wild over the next seven. We're going to take over the world with the love of Jesus. We're going to go with boldness with the Holy Spirit, and the redeemed us is going to be in every single arena that the devil wants to keep us out of, because our God is bigger than our giants. thing I love about fairy tales is not that they're true. What I love about them is that they're kind of more than true. Not because they teach us that giants are real or dragons are real, but because they teach us we can overcome them. Church, this thing is not a fairy tale. Jesus paid the price, and we're going to walk in that freedom. Can I get an amen? If you're in any of those four groups you feel called to, raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God moves in your life, that you have strength on Monday, boldness on Monday, strategy on Monday. God's got you. You're called to it. Father God, we thank you for every hand raised in this place. We are your church at your service, Lord God. We are here to be your servants. We want to cross that line, hearing good, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord God, teach us, direct us, Holy Spirit. Help us live by your principles. Help us in our arenas. Help us be what we're called to be. God, help us in Barcelona in the next few weeks. God, we pray that God, if you'll bless us, if you will help us and give us the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, Lord God, we will use what you give us to build that very thing, whether a company, whether a position, whether a title, whether an influencer, whatever it is, Lord God, we're here to build your house. We thank you for the last seven, but we lift up the next. And we pray that in Jesus' name, you would do exceedingly abundantly than we could ask, seek, or imagine. Faith-filled people shouted. Amen. Come on, a faith-filled people shouted. Amen.